Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, starts now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for August the 24th in the year of our Lord, 2023. This is our one of two, and the goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, to promote God, family, and country, to do so on your radio and the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, we use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America as our guide. We reject revolution, of course, unless it's a Jesus revolution. Then we're in. Actually, we stand for the peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. Welcome to the broadcast. I'm going to talk about the debate, but I don't want it to take center stage. I'm going to talk about Donald Trump and his opposing interview with Tucker Carlson, but again, I don't want it to suck all the oxygen out of the room. I do have a lot to talk about today. I'm going to just tell you this in 2 seconds. Vivek Ramaswamy won the debate handily. A distant second was Nikki Haley. Everybody else, in my opinion, paled in comparison. We expected Ron DeSantis to mix it up, but he didn't. He was sidelined for the most part. And Mike Pence and Chris Christie and a few of the others just sounded like a bunch of old men who have failed their country as they've been in government service forever, and they try to defend their failed records against the newcomer, Vivek Ramaswamy. Now, that's the summary of the debate. I'll get into the details as the broadcast unfolds. Yesterday, though, we talked to Lance Migliaccio and George Ballantyne, host of the Big MIG broadcast, TheBigMig.com. We talked to them in detail, and we had an incredible guest by the name of Michael Curry. And man, he has really got some barn burner information. We covered the fact that in May of 2022, Michael published what they call the Erickson Report. What do you ask? What's that? It's a matter of national security, says Michael, and boy, is he spot on. We talked about the chronic anthem, the machines are not connected to the internet, lies, but they're not total lies. They're truth. But Americans are finding out, yes, the machines are connected. But if you understand the truth, you begin to understand that they're not exactly connected to the internet. So it's kind of a clown discussion because, yes, they're connected, but no, they're not connected to the internet. So when people say, yeah, they're connected to the internet, and they're like, no, they're not. Well, both are kind of true. Let me break it down and help you understand. You know what? Engineers are discovering a nationwide cellular network. It connects election equipment and gives the federal government access to election systems at the precinct level. You don't believe me? GatewayPundit.com has the whole story. How does it all work, then, you ask? Well, wait a minute. What do you mean if they're connected but they're not connected to the internet, Sam? Well, listen to me carefully and I'll break it down. These voting machines do have modems in them. That is beyond debate. Even the mainstream admits there's modems in there. Well, just so you know, the whole purpose for a modem is to connect. Okay? If there's no connectivity or no connection made, then why do these machines have modems in them? Well, so they can connect, Sam. Okay, well, what do they connect for? Well, maybe we need to troubleshoot the modem. Can't you do that on site? Why do they need to connect and what do they connect to are the questions that we really should be asking. And if there are no connections, and you know, really there's no connections, then you don't need modems in them at all. Okay? If you don't need to connect to the network, you don't need a network connection card, right? Yeah, that's right. If you don't need to input data, you don't need a keyboard or a mouse, do you? See? Okay, this is very logical. There are modems in the machines, and they are intended to connect somewhere. The question is where? Well, the internet's the wrong answer, and that's where people have been deceived over this. Michael's information clearly documents where, who, what, how, all that. There's a company called Ericsson. They are the ones in the middle of all this. What am I talking about? Well, you got to ask the question, what is FirstNet? Well, it is separate, but I don't know what you want to call it. It is separate from the internet. The internet is public. FirstNet is private. Basically, Congress created a national cellular private network dedicated to, quote, public safety. It was hashed in the wake of 9/11. Yeah. Okay. What happened at 9/11 is congested cell networks in the public world proved to be a bottleneck for first responders. In 2012, Congress decided to go ahead and create a first net. That's not the internet, it's first net. So they created the First Responder Network Authority under the Department of Commerce to oversee the build out of FirstNet. FirstNet would serve police, firefighters, EMT services, etc. The scope was soon then expanded to include all, quote, critical infrastructure. And just days before Barack Obama left office, his administration's Department of Homeland Security, under the guise of Russian interference in the 2016 election, which turned out to be completely bogus, well, they added elections to this first net system. That's right. So we talked to Michael in great detail about this. Well, Ericsson, this company, runs FirstNet for the government. Yep, and Ericsson has direct ties to ISIS. Now, Donald Trump said that Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton are the founders of ISIS, and he's right about that. Well, they literally worked with a group called Ericsson and another group called Neustar. Neustar has a thing called Ultra DNS. That Ultra DNS system is how all the systems are routed. Why is it separate? Why is it Ultra DNS? Because it can deal with DNS on the internet. It can also deal with private DNS. You say, well, Sam, what the heck is DNS? Listen to me carefully. DNS is name servers. All computers deal with are numbers on the internet. Humans deal with names. The DNS system, dynamic name servers, when you make a request by name for something, sambushman.com, libertyroundtable.com, whatever, it goes and gets the number, then the number routes where you go. Well, that happens publicly, main DNS that you and I know about. It also happens privately. The public DNS sends it to a private server, then the private server routes all the traffic. That's what Ericsson and these criminals are doing. So when you say, hey, these machines are on the internet, and they say, no, they're not, they're right, they're not. But they are on FirstNet, which is equivalent to the internet, which means they are absolutely connected to the internet. And those who told you they were not are lying to you. They're not lying factually. They're technically correct, but it's a lie by misleading you because, look, they are connected. If they're not, why are their modems in voting equipment? Because they intend to be connected, and they are connected, just not to the open internet as you think. Then they say, well, that's safe. That's okay. No, it's not. It still gives government and these private sector global companies the ability to manipulate data, manipulate election results. Now, the FedNow system is kind of the last piece in this pie, ladies and gentlemen. They need to get your finances in this to have total control. As Oliver Anthony highlights it, they all want total control. So FedNow is a new service now, they claim, that will help enable financial institutions to deliver and to create end-to-end faster payment services to their customers. What does that really mean? It means that they're going to make that a legitimate, what do you want to call it, vital infrastructure, and they're going to run that through FirstNet. In other words, the question becomes then, what have they not weaponized against us yet? They have literally weaponized everything against us, folks. And that is the quintessential reality check. And so I'm just telling you, when they want you to believe that it's not connected to the internet, they're trying to but use that red herring, and they're factually right. But what they're leaving out is, yes, they are connected. Yes, they are intended to connect. And yes, they're connected to a FirstNet system separate from the internet. And where they have total control to manipulate everything. And nobody discussed it at the debate last night, really. And nobody discussed it at Donald Trump / Tucker Carlson's interview last night either. I don't know anybody in the mainstream press talking about this but Michael, Sam, Lance, and George. Others need to be talking about it because it is the, pardon the phrase, elephant in the room, or not in the room, if you will. They kind of talked about Donald last night, talking about the elephant not in the room. Well, the elephant not in the room is how we can document election integrity fraud. One is by this FirstNet connectivity issue that no one's talking about. Number two would be talking about this reality check of, hey, The FBI literally shut down stories about Hunter and Joe and promoted false stories about the Donald, creating election fraud. But the debate stage created election fraud, in my opinion, too, trying to force you to all these given rules before you can even be on the debate stage, so Donald chose not to. Well, Donald's big enough to skip the debate stage and still have, hey, a lot of coverage. In fact, the evidence now shows Donald Trump got a whole lot more viewership than the whole debate did. Yeah, Tucker and Donald together have more media prowess, authority, presence, I don't know what you want to call it, than even Fox and the other eight folks on the stage. Imagine Tucker and Donald having more views, more control via X, via what, Twitter, new media, like X or like Twitter or like Elon Musk or not, you know, it doesn't matter. The fact is that new platform, X, Musk, meaning, and Donald Trump and Tucker Carlson, they beat out Fox and all eight other candidates in terms of viewership, listenership, et cetera. Now, it's a little debatable because you got to, even if you kind of scrolled by and considered the debate or considered the Tucker Carlson interview, they're claiming that's kind of a view. The debate is what really constitutes watching in every case. That's where they play a lot of games. They say over 74 million saw Tucker Carlson, Donald Trump. How many watched the debate? Way less than that, I'll tell you that right now. All right, quick pause. Your Honest Money Report in seconds on your radio.
Former Sheriff Richard Mack recounts in his book, The Proper Role of Law Enforcement, how he came to realize while working as a beat cop how wrong the all-too-common orientation of police officers is when they think of their job as being to write tickets and arrest people. Richard Mack tells of his personal transformation from by-the-number cop to constitution-conscious defender of citizen safety and freedoms. Learn what it really means to serve and protect. Purchase your copy at cspoa.org. That's cspoa.org.
Do you know what is great about America? Ask an Immigrant. Ask an Immigrant is a new podcast dedicated to helping Americans, especially our youth, value, appreciate, and be grateful for the freedoms we have here in America. Join host Lydia Wallace Nuttall as she interviews immigrants from around the world to discover their inspiring personal stories about why they came to America. To learn more about why America is the most prosperous, greatest country in the world, download the Loving Liberty app or go to lovingliberty.net.
Matthew 24:24 teaches us that the church is deceived today. Deceived Christians call themselves Judeo-Christians. Around 1900, Jews commissioned the Scofield Reference Bible, which transformed the Jews from Christian killers to the chosen people. Here's the truth. America is in the Bible. Revelation 21. Our form of government came down from heaven. Verse 3. The many Christian ministers at the Constitutional Convention sought God's will. The God-given rights in the Constitution were ordained by God. America is the new promised land for Christian Israel, and Christians are the true chosen people. True Israel is Christian. Listen to Jesus, quote, "My sheep follow me," unquote, and, quote, "You do not believe because you are not my sheep," unquote. John 10:25-27. The beast has transformed America into the woman mystery Babylon, Revelation chapter 17. For the complete Bible study, write to Christian Knuckles, P.O. Box 210813, Royal Palm Beach, Florida 33421.
Ladies and gentlemen, your Honest Money Report in mere seconds. I interviewed Trent Staggs, currently Riverton, Utah's mayor, and he wants to go ahead and run against Mitt Romney. Oh, yeah, TrentStaggs.com to learn more. As your next Utah senator, Trent says he will champion smaller government, safer families, and a stronger economy. Yeah. Send a proven conservative and fighter to D.C. instead of Mitt Romney. Yeah. Anyway, the Federalist even highlights Trent Stagg's campaign against Mitt Romney. Mitt Romney's kind of trying to debate now if he even wants to run. Well, all I can tell you is that is amazing stuff. Brian Rust with us, RustCoinandGift.com. What do you think of the Trent Stagg's battle? I hope we can get another guy that actually is friendly and kind to Mike Lee. What do you say?
Yeah, I agree. He needs all the help he can get back there. I just hope that, you know, it's such a circus back there, and you just never know what you get. You know, they say what they want you to hear, and I just hope they'd follow through with some of the things that they continue to say.
Boy, howdy, is that critical. That a mate talked about the economy. Trent Staggs highlighting the economy when it comes to discussing with Mitt Romney and others. Ron Paul spoke out about the economy. We'll get to that in a minute. But first, let's do the Honest Money Report. Where's gold sitting, Brian?
Gold's at 1916.50.
1916.50.
Right.
All right. 1916.50. That's up a little bit.
Where's about 1850.
Sitting?
Gold's up about 1850. Silver's 2440, up 155.
2440. 40. Got it. All right. I write that down so people can kind of keep track of that a little bit week to week, by the way, folks. So check the show notes if you need more on that. What do you think, though? It's strange how it bounces around, doesn't change too much. They continue to manipulate it on paper. I think that's something that we really need to help people always remember. And these numbers that you're seeing are paper numbers. I know they're called spot or whatever you want to say, but they're really paper numbers because if you take possession, the numbers are completely different. Right, Ryan?
Correct. Yeah, it's they yo-yo this price around on you know, the stock exchange, so it's up and down or wherever they want. There was news, obviously things happen in the debate. You had this BRICS thing that's happening now. They're discussing.
Yeah, we're going to get into that in detail today. All right, Kelly, what do you say? Are you in a buying mood for constitutional currency, sir?
If I can get it at a great price, yeah. But otherwise, I've already got mine put away. You know, I was buying when it was between, you know, 400, 600, and 800. So. I'm just kind of watching right now.
All right. It's pretty brutal, ladies and gentlemen, what Brian just referred to. And I'm going to try to break this down a little bit here. Several countries rallied against the dollar. Oh, yeah, they railed against the U.S. dollar, ladies and gentlemen, at what they call the Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa. They call it the BRICS. BRICS summit. It was in South Africa, ladies and gentlemen, and they railed against the dollar. They said, why would we use the U.S. dollar at all? Kelly, this is where they're getting more bold and they're getting united. That spells trouble, sir.
Yeah, they're getting around the SWIFT system, which the U.S. uses, and I can understand that. And yet they don't have a currency. They're just exchanging their own currency and then selling it, you know, afterwards in the open market. And I think all of those countries have defaulted at one time or more than once on their own currency. So there's not a lot of people that take what they're doing too seriously because, you know, the other guy in the room, as bad as it is, has never defaulted and will still redeem everything that's ever been issued. So, yeah.
It'll still redeem everything that's never been issued, but it's kind of a faux default because that's not even possible. If everybody really wanted redemption, it's not doable, Brian. So in the way they claim that, in the way that's true, what Kelly's saying, that it hasn't been done, but at the same time, it's because they've created the confidence game to where people believe that no one's really called a halt to the con game. They could in a second, though, Brian.
Yeah, you're right. You know, they get together, though. I think they're getting together just so, you know, they don't want to have the finger pushed on them. They want to be able to trade and not have the U.S. eyeballing everything that's going on in their, you know, with their financial situation. So, but, yeah, I mean, you know, when they've devalued currency so often in their own countries, they don't have a lot of people don't have a lot of respect for those currencies. So, yeah. We've not ever devolved it, and we're headed for that.
Yeah, but we haven't defaulted because people haven't just called a halt and demanded payment. Otherwise, we would. We'd have to be like George and It's a Wonderful Life and go, listen, guys, come on, we're all a team here. We'd have to talk people out of their claims to keep it afloat. Right, Kelly?
Yeah.
Oh, no, they just would print more. You know what I mean?
That's right.
You know, the FDIC, everybody's like, well, my money is insured. No, there is no insurance. It's just that if something defaults, they'll just print that much currency for you. There is no insurance. You know, if everybody went in and asked to clean out their accounts right now, yeah, all the banks would be insolvent. But the odds of that happening, see, are so low. There's too many people that still are drinking, and they say the Kool-Aid, but actually it was Flavor-Aid they were drinking in Jonestown. But too many people believe even the CPI, which, you know, Mike Maloney calls the CP lie. And so many of these things, even the, you know, the paper market and the metals, is based on a lie, but there's people that still rely on that lie, you know, that we don't have inflation and we're not in a recession. They believe that because that's what the government tells them. And there's just too many people that believe what they're being told. And that's how Mitt Romney gets in there time after time, is they just, oh, he's got an R behind his name, and, you know, he's a member of the church I go to, so he's got to be a good guy. And that's the problem, you know.
All right, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. This is serious, though, because what they're now doing in this big BRICS conference, or whatever you want to call it, these several countries rallying against the U.S. dollar are looking towards their own, quote, digital currency or cryptocurrency. And so if they reject the U.S. dollar, Brazil, Russia, India, China, South Africa, and they really move towards a digital currency where they're kind of united globally, man, that'll be a juggernaut that'll be hard to deal with. When you look at that, those countries together, I don't even know. I'd have to total it up how many citizens they have. But it's literally over a quarter of the world, isn't it? Maybe a third of the world?
You know what it is? But those countries don't even trust each other. You think Russia trusts China? No way. You know, they're always looking over their shoulder. And so, you know,
no, but if they can temporarily unite to break the back of the United States, they may try to do it.
Right. They can do that. That's what I'm saying. They can do that. But it's a group of people, you know, that are ganging up on somebody that don't even trust that the other guy's got their back. You know, what's the Muslim saying? The enemy of my enemy is my friend. And that's what they're doing.
I agree completely with Kelly, Brian, although I think you could temporarily get along enough. You know, when you have a united enemy, even though things aren't great in your own camp, somehow that lets you set things aside. And if they did it long enough, it would still wreak havoc for the U.S. regardless, even if it wasn't a long-lasting alliance with trust and accountability. Eventually, it would break up, but it might have enough mojo to really give us trouble, though, on the home front, Brian.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think that if they can lay aside, lay aside some of their own individual, you know, things that are going on and work together, because, you know, they're really kind of coming together to discuss kind of what can we do? How can we break this, you know, this petrodollar and that could have, you know, like you say, it could have a, you know, major effect as far as trade and all the other things. And I think there might be an easement as far as, you know, the finger on them. So, yeah.
Ron Paul kind of got into the debate a little bit last night without even being in it. He sent out an email, but it relates completely to the economic discussion that Donald Trump and Tucker Carlson had, along with the economy debate that the debaters had on stage last night. And here's what Ron Paul had to say. The coming collapse. And then he says, please take a moment to contact your congressmen and senators, contact your lawmakers and ask them to please audit the Fed. We've got to get this done. There is a coming collapse. Brian?
Well, yeah, I agree. I mean, I think Ron Paul's been, you know, pushing that, you know, let's get some control under this Fed. And I mean, we're 3,000% increase when the Fed took over, and you know, so in inflation. So I'd like to get a finger on the Fed as well. That'd be great.
All right, when we come back, we'll talk to Kelly, see what he has to say about this. But Ron Paul kind of getting into the economic discussion on the debate stage. Vivek doing the same. We'll talk about that too, coming up on your radio.
Exposing corruption, informing citizens, pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA News, I'm Lance Pry. The GOP presidential debate took place last night in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Noticeably absent was presidential candidate Donald Trump. On Tucker Carlson's X feed, Trump explains why he skipped the debate.
You see the polls have come out, and I'm leading by 50 and 60 points. And, you know, some of them are at 1 and 0 and 2. And I'm saying, do I sit there for an hour or 2 hours, whatever it's going to be, and get harassed by people that shouldn't even be running for president? Should I be doing that? And a network that isn't particularly friendly to me.
The trial of Brian Koberger, who's been accused of killing four University of Idaho students, is being delayed indefinitely. Yesterday, Koberger waived his right to a speedy trial, which allows the courts to schedule a trial more than 6 months out from his arraignment. His court date was originally scheduled for October 2nd. However, the legal team says they weren't prepared to present their case by that deadline. House Republicans may launch an investigation into the federal response to the Maui wildfires. Speaker Kevin McCarthy told reporters yesterday that he's very concerned about the response and questioned why there were so many deaths. McCarthy says he believes there's going to have to be a congressional investigation into the Biden administration's efforts. At least 115 people were killed in the wildfires. Hundreds, if not 1,000 souls remain missing. Boeing says a defect in the new 737 MAX is going to delay near-term deliveries. The plane company said yesterday that the problem involves improperly drilled holes near the rear bulkhead and may cause Boeing to miss its annual delivery target of at least 400 737s this year. So far, Boeing believes the defect is limited to a portion of its MAX 8 model. USA News.
If you have asthma, pay close attention to this message. It can save you hundreds of dollars on your healthcare costs. Right now, you can make a free call and get generic asthma inhalers for less than $20 a piece. That's cheaper than most of your insurance copays. And if you call right now, you can buy 10 or more and save even more. Our Rescue Asthma Inhalers are a real generic version of the product that you already pay hundreds of dollars for. Save yourself money and call now to order. If you have asthma, now you can save hundreds of dollars with no prescription required for your inhalers. Call right now. Learn how to get your Rescue Asthma Inhalers shipped directly to your door for less than $20 each. Call the Prescription Savings Hotline now.
800-451-0380. 800-451-0380. 800-451-0380. That's 800-451-0380. Call now.
Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
All right, one thing's abundantly clear. Everybody hated Vivek Ramaswamy except for Donald Trump and we the people. The people loved him. All the debate candidates on the stage can't stand the guy. Economically, they all had a debate. And sad to say, Chris Christie, Mike Pence, some of the other gentlemen on the stage sounded like just a bunch of old complainers. Oh, we've got all the experience in the world. We know what to do. Put us in place. We'll fix it. But they're the ones that broke it. They're the ones that literally have destroyed everything. Anybody who's been a politician for a long time, which is almost everybody on the stage, just trashed Mike Pence, Chris Christie, some of these other people that are kind of, and I'm calling them fringe candidates because they don't stand a prayer or have a chance. North Dakota governor, former Arkansas governor, these guys, you know, Nikki Haley was young and spry. We'll talk about that. But Vivek Ramaswamy literally ate them all for lunch. I mean, he won the debate hands down. All right, Liz, I want you to get the Vivek 2 clip. That's the one we're going to play in just a second. Here's one example of how he literally ate them alive. Listen to this.
I was born in 1985, and I grew up into a generation where we were taught to celebrate our diversity and our differences so much that we forgot all of the ways we are really just the same as Americans, bound by a common set of ideals that set this nation into motion in 1776. And this is our moment to revive those common ideals. God is real. there are two genders. Fossil fuels are a requirement for human prosperity. Reverse racism is racism. An open border is not a border. Parents determine the education of their children. The nuclear family is the greatest form of governance known to man. Capitalism lifts us up from poverty. There are three branches of government, not four. And the U.S. Constitution, it is the strongest guarantor of freedom in human history. That is what won us the American Revolution. That is what will win us the revolution of 2024. Thanks for letting me introduce myself tonight. Thank you.
What do you say to that, Kelly?
He's the real deal. I mean, everything he says is so pro-American, and he's the only guy that's really not afraid to get up there and tell it like it is. The only one. And people like that.
I think you're right about that. Yeah, people like it, but you know what? The debate folks could not stand him. Okay, this guy came out of nowhere, and everybody's attacking him. Trump trolled the debates and praised Vivek, because Vivek was the only one that stood with Donald Trump.
They're attacking this, him.
Here's my headline for this. Vivek sets the record straight, Kelly.
Yeah, I mean, they're attacking him because they're afraid of him. You know, like they say, when they start targeting you, that means, you know, when the flak's the heaviest, that means you're over the target. And so he scares everybody because he's saying what people want. Not what they want to hear, really, but they do, but what they really, really want. And you can deal with a guy like that.
Everybody hates Vivek except for the people and Donald Trump, Brian.
Yeah, that was a great statement. He got up there and just said it how it was, and that's, you know, no doubt about it. We need more of that, and he would be, you know, great to have in some kind of position there where he could really, make an impact. And I think that's, like Kelly said, they're going to attack him just simply because, oh, you can't say that. You can't. Oh, you can't. You're going to hurt. You can't. Come on, get out there and say it. I mean, look, why are they attacking Trump? Because they're afraid of him as well. I agree.
Well, I find this interesting. He brought up, there was a lot of discussion about the economy. And really, the attacks were about Bidenomics. And all these other guys are like, you know, trust the Republicans, not the Democrats' idea. Which, again, you know, as well as I do, this is a waste of time. Democrat plan versus Republican plan. We get nowhere. Pence tried to defend his out-of-control spending. And Vivek just mocked him at it. I mean, this guy literally spent us into oblivion. What I found fascinating is in that one statement that Vivek had, he said so many things. Two of them related to the economy. One of them is he says, listen, we must have fossil fuels to thrive economically speaking. Period. End of discussion. Brian, he's right. And every one of them knows it.
That's exactly right. Well, and we're seeing the effects of throughout the world. I mean, countries that decided to go away from that and now are coming back to that. And I mean, yeah, I mean, we have to have that. And this agenda this left agenda saying, you know, we need all just battery driven vehicles and, you know, ride the train or it just doesn't work.
Now, he was the only one that had the guts to back that up. He said climate change is a hoax.
Yeah.
And all the insiders on the stage just literally had a conniption, Kelly.
Oh yeah, they can't stand that. And the hoax of it is trying to blame it on people, you know, because we're such a small part of what really causes anything to change. And this world changed from, you know, they'd like to go back. July 4th was the hottest day ever. Really, was there somebody around 100,000 years ago measuring the temperature on what would have been the July 4th? I don't think so. So it wasn't. So they found out that really they only go back to 1979. So it was the hottest July 4th since 1979. Oh, well, that's not very long, is it?
But that even if their data collecting, that's even if their data collecting was accurate all the time.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and then you relied on probably somebody looking at a thermometer, you know?
Because I'm saying we can't even depend on these guys telling us if it's going to rain today or not. How are they going to go ahead and project the future if they can't even tell me if it's going to really rain today or not?
Yeah, if you can't even give me a week, then how are you, you know, even at 100 years? And so,
I mean, they literally tell me a 15% chance of rain today, and then it's raining while they're, you know, while I'm reading the report kind of thing. Brian?
Yeah.
And then they all left and got on their little Lear jets and flew back home and then to get on their jet again and fly 2 miles down the street so they can have another meeting. Yeah, I don't buy it.
I find that fascinating. While Vivek had the guts to say climate change is a hoax, the only one that really doubled down in defense of climate change was Nikki Haley, who did pretty well in the debate on a lot of topics, by the way, but she sold herself south on that one. She literally blatantly said climate change is real. Do you want to respond to that, Kelly?
Well, it is. It's summer, so it is hot. So I guess she is right. You know, it's summer still for almost like another month, and then it starts to be fall, and it'll start getting cooler. And I think I can predict that. Temperatures a month from today will be cooler than they are right now. How's that for being a climate prognosticator?
Yeah, you got it.
I don't even know how to handle this discussion, though. If we can't even debate if something's real or not. You see, I believe that the Earth is getting more climate turmoil. I mean, God told us we would if we disobey him, that, you know what, there'll be all kinds of catastrophes and things. The hoax part is where we believe that, hey, humans are the problem and government's got to control the humans. That's where the lies begin, and the government has to engineer the outcome to protect us from ourselves. That's where the lies begin, etc. And these people on the stage just couldn't deal with the fact that it's a hoax, deal with the fact that it's a lie. And he basically said, hey, it's putting a wet blanket on the economy, this climate change thing, to the point where economically that's our biggest problem. And so then he doubled down and he said, look, we need to drill, we need to frack, we need to do all things that relate to prosperity, and we need to do it now if we want to change the economy. No one had the guts to even agree with that. That used to be the talking point for the Republicans. Now they've all backed away from that except for Vivek. Brian?
Yeah, well, that's because they're a joke, if you ask me. But yeah, it's affecting the economy, sure, but that's because more government. Let's just keep adding more government, because that's going to help. They can just take care of us, and it's going to be a good thing. Well, it hasn't really been a good thing. And then you got a president that come in here and absolutely destroyed anything that was good before. You know, our resources were independent. We didn't have to rely on Russia or anybody else to get us oil. So it's the writing's on the wall. I mean, we can see the truth. You know, but yet we better bring in more government to help us. You know, let's print more dollars and let's all wear a mask, because, you know, this COVID thing's just around the corner again. COVID-14 is right there. So, I mean, we scare us another little bit. And yeah.
Kelly?
I was just going to say really quick that he's the only one that's got the cojones to stand up there and really tell it like it is. Everybody else has to bow to the narrative, and he doesn't, you know. He actually goes against ESG with his investment.
There you have it. Hang tight, ladies and gentlemen. I am Sam Bush with Brian Russ, Kelly Finnegan with me on your radio.
The spirit of the American West is live and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues affecting the American West. Each issue contains informative articles, breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of cowboy spirit today, and gift ideas like the 2021 Real Buckaroo Calendar. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Loving Liberty Network salutes the spirit of the American West at rangemagazine.com.
Decades after Jimmy Carter, Joe Biden picked up where he left off. With America surrendering to terrorists, Biden's foolish spending is causing inflation, which means more pain at the pump, higher prices on groceries, devaluing your retirement savings when you need it most. Once was a mistake. Twice is a disaster. America needs strong leaders, not weak ones.
Save America JFC is responsible for the content of this advertising.
In the medical field, IT security is crucial. Our highly skilled consultants are HIPAA certified and have 20 plus years of experience servicing medical clinics, billing, and supply companies. We offer comprehensive endpoint protection, guarding your computers and servers against all stages of threats. And with our 24/7 monitoring services, you'll never worry about extensive downtime again. Ready to level up your IT support? Call 801-706-6980 today and discover how great IT services can be with Managed IT Services.
Have you ever heard of Loving Liberty Ladies? Well, the Loving Liberty Ladies are here to help you learn our American heritage and the way it affects today's society. The Loving Liberty Ladies also have a discussion guide called Proclaim Liberty. And with this guide, you can start your own group in your hometown. Get yours today on our website at lovingliberty.net. Look for our lesson supplements, too. They're free. To hear all the special offers and to join the fight for freedom and liberty, please go to lovingliberty.net.
Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. Kelly, what do you say? I mean, really, he doubled down and said, look, this environmental stuff is a hoax. We cannot have the government control everything and create a wet blanket on the economy. We have got to have fracking, drilling, doing everything that we need to do for Americans to prosper. Americans cannot prosper and have our normal way of life and cannot advance society without fossil fuels. This is something nobody else on the stage will say, but I will. I think he couldn't be more spot on. No one had the guts to even agree with him, but that used to be the general standard point of the Republicans. Now they've all jettisoned it, except for Vivek Ramaswamy, Kelly.
Yeah, they're afraid, you know, they're afraid of the narrative that's out there, you know, and these carbon credits, what a joke. All it does is just make you pay more for stuff. It doesn't change anything. Still putting out the same amount of carbon dioxide, which isn't the biggest greenhouse gas in the world. It's actually water, but they have to take that out because, you know, that water is everywhere. But yeah, it's good that he's the only one willing to do that and confront it head on. And you know what? If somebody disagrees with him, he'll debate him, and he'll tear him down. They're afraid.
And you know what? They all basically came back on this point. Every single one of them. It was a disgrace. Every single one of them says, "Oh, you don't have experience. You don't know what you're talking about. You're too young," says Mike Pence. "You don't have experience on foreign policy, and it shows," says Nikki Haley. Everyone literally trashed him for lack of experience, and my response is twofold on that. Number one, I don't know that it's a problem to be young. He's a billionaire. He's an attorney. He's got 20 years in the private public sector in business. As a billionaire in business with immigrant parents, I don't know how much more experience you need. If we're talking experience, these experienced folks have us $32 trillion in debt. If that is what experience buys you, Brian, I don't want any part of it.
Yeah, I agree with you. And he's kind of like a mini Trump in a sense. I don't, maybe that's not a good way to put it, but that, you know, Trump, a billionaire, has experience in the business field. And that's exactly what he did. He went in and he's not a politician, so he didn't dance with all the, you know, little agendas and made mistakes putting people there. In fact, one of the mistakes I would have to say is Pence, because Pence, here's a guy that should have had his back and supported him, but he's afraid of the narrative, like Kelly says, on the other side. So he can't say anything good about Trump because that's going to hurt him in his campaign. Well, it's already hurt him for standing up and some of the things that he has said in the past, but now they're going to attack this young guy and on the same agenda. And they say
it's
experience.
Well,
how well is their experience been? We're seeing the fruits of their labors, and it's not a good thing. And so,
yeah, it's not a good look. The American people are suffering. We're $32 trillion in debt. If you talk about unfunded liabilities, it's more like a couple of hundred trillion. We're literally on the brink of war. We're in over 130 nations, militarily speaking. None of the government works. Government or views by the American people about government, Congress, et cetera, at an all-time low. I mean, this is disaster. Now, Vivek also was the only one to be decent to Donald Trump on the stage, which I found fascinating as well. Let's do Vivek soundbite one, Liz.
Let's just speak the truth, okay? President Trump, I believe, was the best president of the 21st century. It's a fact. And Chris Christie, honest to God, your claim that Donald Trump is motivated by vengeance and grievance would be a lot more credible if your entire campaign were not based on vengeance and grievance against one man. And people at home want to see a bunch of people blindly bashing Donald Trump without an iota of vision for this country. They could just change the channel to MSNBC right now. But I'm not running for president of MSNBC. I am running for president of the United States. We're skating on thin ice, and we cannot set a precedent where the party in power uses police force to indict its political opponents. It is wrong. We have to end the weaponization of justice in this country.
The crowd loves it. Everybody loves Vivek. What he said was spot on. He slammed grumpy old Chris Christie at the same time as he made those vital points. Look, we cannot weaponize the opposite side of the discussion. Whether you like or disagree with Donald, whether you believe he's committed crimes or not, isn't important. You cannot weaponize against a candidate and or a former president of the United States. And that's what Vivek's primarily saying, look, folks, you can't do that. Donald Trump was the best president in the 21st century. You know what? Donald's got his flaws. I'll be the first to tell you. But I have to agree with him, Kelly.
Yeah, you know, and I'll play on his Indian culture. He's a cobra. And he doesn't dance to the flute. You keep poking him with the stick, and he'll come right back at you and get you. And he's tough, and he's smart. He knows what to say and how to say it, and he doesn't get provoked. So I think this might be their wake-up call that maybe we should be poking sticks at Vivek. I love him. I think the guy's great. You know, if you put him and Robert Kennedy together, holy crap, nothing would stop that.
Oh, yeah, or even him and Donald Trump together for that matter. But I'll tell you what I find also interesting. Believe it or not, I never thought I'd see this day, but I agree with CNN. Can you believe that, gentlemen? I agree with CNN. Here's what CNN had to say after the debate. Quote, a CNN panel praised Republican presidential candidates Vivek Ramaswamy and Nikki Haley. Now, I don't give Nikki a lot of praise. She was a distant second big time. But you know what? I got to admit, CNN had a point. Vivek slaughtered them in this debate, folks. Truly, truly ate them alive. Now, I think I have a Christie soundbite. Let's play this one. Christie and Mike Pence, all those guys sounded like just a bunch of old men stuck on stupid. Listen to Christie.
Eddie tonight. Of a guy who sounds like ChatGPT standing up here. And the last person in one of these debates, Brett, who stood in the middle of the stage and said, what's a skinny guy with an odd last name doing up here, was Barack Obama. And I'm afraid we're dealing with the same type of amateur.
Wow.
Yeah.
Vivek sounds like ChatGPT. No, it sounds like he knows what he's talking about. Number one, I don't know that ChatGPT has anything to do with it, but they're making it try to act like he's a robot or something else. And my response is the old school are the robots. They're the ones that have been the gatekeepers and game players. But Chris Christie just sounded like an old man. Then he mocks him, trying to compare him to Obama. Well, just so you know, Obama became president, like or hate him. Is that the omen that Chris Christie means to say that, hey, Vivek's going to win? Is that what he really said, Brian?
I think that's what he was saying. Sounded kind of like Bernie Sanders there. I couldn't quite, was it him or not? I couldn't see a picture. But, yeah, old sounds like kind of an old man and didn't get any, I think the people were kind of booing him. So that, how well did that go for him?
The people were booing him. Look, when you start comparing another guy on the stage that's a billionaire businessman, attorney, who's schooling everyone on the debate stage, and then you say, sounds like ChatGPT. Who is this skinny guy? Sounds like Obama. I don't mean to be rude, but you're looking like you're such an old, scared man on the stage. Everybody on the stage just had to wither because Christie made such a foolish statement that it let Vivek shine without even responding. to that,
well,
Kelly?
Yeah. Well, I was going to say, you know, I think the first rule of debating is no ad hominem, which means personal attacks. And that sounded more like a personal attack rather than debating the topics. So that just tells you, you know, that he's the guy. He's the front runner, you know. And Trump's smart. Trump's like being Notre Dame. I don't need to join any conference because I get all the revenue. So I get why he's not there. And Vivek's the...
By the way, you mentioned that Chris Christie was booed. He was booed so many times and booed so bad that the moderator, Brett Baer, had to intervene and say, talk to the crowd and say, look, you've got to stop. We've got to have a civil debate here. The crowd was so against Christie that the moderator had to protect the poor old man.
There you go.
What do you say to that, Kelly? That's really unprecedented, if you ask me.
I would have just said, hey, if you guys don't shut up, Chris is going to come and sit on your lap, you know, and that would make me...
Oh, man, leave it to Kelly, Brian.
I know, he's good.
Christie was literally booed to the point where the moderator literally had to intervene on Chris Christie's behalf. It was that bad. I just can't believe it. And so I just find the whole thing interesting. But talking about the economy a little bit more, think about the things that Vivek said about restoring the economy. Imagine if we got rid of all the climate change regulations and we were actually able to drill and frack. And imagine if we jettisoned climate change, the hoax, and got rid of the wet blanket of the economy. Just imagine. That's partially what Donald did. Imagine somebody coming in after Donald or along with Donald and turning that on steroids, Kelly.
Yeah, that's exactly right, you know. And then you got the Oliver Anthony coming out with the song about, you know, the rich men north of Richmond. And people are just getting tired of this and realizing it doesn't matter which side they're on. It's an us versus them. And them, they don't care. You know, they're going to take turns like a tennis match on which side the ball's on, Democrat or Republican. So I think Vivek's the only one that's really talking about what matters to people rather than what matters to the candidates to get in.
Now, the last statement is Burgess Owens, congressman of Utah, just endorsed Donald Trump for 2024. I don't know what will happen. I don't know if Vivek will be the VP pick for Donald. He praised him on the stage, and Donald literally trolled the debate and thanked him publicly just over the last several hours. So you're starting to see kind of an interesting change in the game. Now everybody's against the Donald and Vivek, but Donald and Vivek take all the oxygen out of the room between the two of them, big time. Last word to you, Brian.
Yeah, I think, you know, the last words for me, it's interesting kind of all this circus that's going on, and Donald doesn't need to be there. One thing I'd like to say before we close is I think everybody needs to go listen to Michael. I know I'm changing the subject, but pull up Michael Corey news and get an eye full of that.
Yeah, so listen to yesterday's 2 hours is the point, right,
yeah,
Brian?
Absolutely. And he said it's 100% fact. I'm not giving you stuff that's not 100% fact that I've stand behind. So that's important right there.
There you have it. Kelly, I think the show about Michael yesterday, basically they're saying, look, computers are connected to the internet. That's what's causing all the problems. And the mainstream says, no, they're not. Well, they're not, because they're actually connected through AT&T to a system called FirstNet that the government built after 9/11. And now they're working with Ericsson Electronics and this Ultra DNS service to route traffic and commit election fraud on what's called FirstNet, not on the internet. And Michael broke that news on Liberty Roundtable Live yesterday and provided details. All you got to do is follow the dots, follow the money. It's provable. Where's the accountability was the only question left. Well, gentlemen, we're out of time. Thank you so much, Kelly. Thank you so much, Brian. If you want an honest friend in the constitutional currency business or the gold and silver business or the coin business, all you got to do is get a hold of RustCoinAndGift.com. That's RustCoinAndGift.com. Thank you, gentlemen. God save
Thanks,
the Republic of the United States of America.